Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Red-Eye's Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren, and I'm coming to you live from the west coast of Sweden. And I will be your host for the following hour. It's another Thor's Day, and I would like to thank everyone tuning in today, either live through bbsradio.com, or if you are accessing the show sometime in the future through the archives. And I would also like to extend my thanks and my gratitude, as always, to Doug and Don over at bloginservice.com, and also Christopher Morse over at creativecosmos.org for making this program a possibility. So, as always, a big thank you to you guys. And I would also like to thank everyone who has been sending me email and contact me through the Red-Eye website. And thank you so much for all the positive response, the comments, and the feedback. It's always fun to hear from you guys, so keep it up. And, okay, we have a very special guest joining us here for the full hour. Michael Sharp is here, and I'm looking forward very much to talk a little bit about Michael's latest work called The Book of Light. As many of you regular visitors to Red Eyes probably know by now, Michael have been very kind to share his latest work with us through my site and among others. And I must say that I really enjoyed The Book of Light very, very much. And it's about very big concepts, and sometimes it might be considered to be difficult topics, but Michael explains it all in a very, very focused way, so to speak. So it's going to be lots of fun to talk more with Michael about this new book. I can also mention beforehand here that Michael is a sociologist, a PhD, and he is a mystic and a world teacher. He writes books on spiritual topics ranging from ascension through chakra and kundalini activation to the nature of God and the tarot as a tool of spiritual advancements. Michael is also author of The Book of Life and The Dossier of the Ascension. And you can visit Michael's website right now for more information simply by going to michaelsharp.org. That is michaelsharp, one word, .org. So, with no further ado, welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you, Henrik, for that wonderful welcome. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm having a bit trouble to hearing you here, so I'll try to project, and you'll do the same, okay?
Okay, all right.
Great. Anyway, I'm very glad to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking time to be here.
Oh, well, thank you. I've been following your site since the beginning, so I'm a big fan of yours, actually, and the work that you've done.
Thank you. Yeah, it seems like we've kind of converged here somewhere on the path here.
Right, I think.
I can't really remember when it was, but I know that I came across your work pretty early on as I started the site, and I was instantaneously intrigued by your articles and your way of writing about these topics, and I enjoyed it. Simply because it is sharp, I guess, straight on and to the point, open and honest, and it seems to be coming straight from the heart, so to speak. And I'm just curious to know, how long have you been writing, Michael?
I started writing in 2003, so, you know, not very long, less than 3 years. Maybe towards the end of 2002, I don't know, but it hasn't been more than 4 years that I've been writing in this lifetime. Or writing spiritual topics, I guess. I mean, I've always written as a sociologist, but never with the kind of frequency and purpose as I do with the spiritual stuff.
No, I'm having real trouble hearing you here, Michael.
Okay, I'll try.
Strange. I hope you can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Yeah. Does this help at all?
What? Come again?
Does this help at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, try to just project as hard as you can into that phone, okay?
I'll try.
Because it keeps breaking up for some reason. I don't know why, but...
Here, I'm going to try without the headset, okay? Just 1 second.
Yeah, sure. Great.
Is this any better?
Much better.
Okay, I'll just hold the phone to my head then.
Thank you. Okay. Great. Okay, yeah, because it's going to be a little difficult to do this without hearing you properly. So, all right, let's see. Where do we dive in here, Michael? There's lots to talk about, and there's we're short of time already, I guess. But I wanted to ask you, how long have you been onto this path? Because I know that you've mentioned a few times in your articles and such that before you began this, you were an atheist, just like myself. So I'm just curious, how did you get onto this path?
Well, actually, I'm writing an article for a scholarly journal right now, the Journal of Consciousness Studies, that kind of talks about that. But really, it was part dramatic spiritual awakening. But preceding that, there was a lot of kind of, you know, experimentation going on, where I would just kind of, I'd read a book and experiment with energy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I never really believed any of it until we had a therapist in the house talking about it. And, you know, she was a good therapist, so I thought, well, maybe I'll listen to her and try this stuff. And, you know, just over a period of a couple of years, the reality of spiritual realms and energy and the importance of consciousness and all that stuff really, really hit me hard. And, you know, back then I couldn't, you know, I explain it now like I understood what was going on back then, but I didn't. But it was enough to keep me going, so it was really a process of
interesting. Yeah, it's the same for me, I guess, in some sense. I've just been going through a lot of different spiritual practices. I don't know what to call it really, but I've been doing a lot of reading and, of course, the site. And I'm just, at this point, I'm just so intrigued by so many, many topics. And of course, your writing is excellent, I think, because it points out, you know, you go straight at it, so to speak. And I really appreciate that, because you often refer to in your writing that what we are doing here is not, actually I should say, what we are doing here is we are already finished, so to speak. We just have to realize it. Isn't that correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I don't ever say it quite that clearly yet anyway, but that's exactly right. It's already a done deal. And a lot of what you're going through and your listeners are going through and everything else that's happening right now is just a process of everybody kind of waking up now, because it's time to wake up. Oh. And so that's really what I'm here for, is to just, you know, when you're opening your eyes and you want, you know, really good, fast information, kind of orient you quickly, give you a sense of what's going on, then that's what I'm about, right? That's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, exactly. In your bio on your site, you also it's an interesting word. You say that you're a mystic. I found that interesting as a term. Do you care to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I mean, that means I get most of my information directly from spirit. Not anymore anyway, I used to, but now I don't. I go within, I guess, is what the mystics will say, and I channel or I talk to spirits or whatever you want to call it. It's not a Hollywood process, but it's a very powerful process. And
yeah.
I think anybody that kind of, you know, switches their mode of operation from external information sources to internal information sources can use that moniker of mystic. And it's not that external information sources are bad, but you've got to, you know, you can't rely on them exclusively, because there's a lot of information sources out there that are out there to, you know, just make things confusing for you. So you have to rely on the inside.
Yes, I agree. It's a lot of stuff to wade through. So you go. It's really interesting. Do you have any explanation from where this source is? I mean, do you just tap into it, or how do you access it, so to speak?
Well, I think the technical explanation for that is provided in the Book of Light, so it's a good thing that we're talking about that today. But this really flows naturally from the way spirit and consciousness is organized, which is like, you know, in the Book of Light, we have that Christmas tree of consciousness, which shows, you know, the structure of spirit as a evergreen tree of eyes. You know, like, we're all connected, we're all part of the same structure. So we're never, you know, the disconnection that we have felt on this earth is really artificial. And, you know, what I'm doing in this process and what other people are learning to do is really more natural for us, being connected to the consciousness and spirit. So, you know, if you want the technical explanation, that's in the Book of Light. which kind of outlines the theory behind it, I guess you could say.
That the cover of your book is really it's a beautiful image, and I think it encapsulates, just as you say, the entire message that you're trying to get across, so to speak.
Yeah.
Who is the artist there?
A woman by the name of Kathy Gabriel in Sedona, and she's also done the cover for Dossier Ascension. Yeah, she's really amazing. She's has a very intuitive grasp of this stuff.
Is it your design, the cover?
Yeah, my design, but she was the one that implemented it, because I cannot draw. That's one thing.
Okay. It's a beautiful cover, and anyway. So,
thank you.
So it's I guess that what we are talking about here is really the nature of God, so to speak, and maybe you could do you care to go into it a little more in depth, so to speak, how does it work? What is it we are a part of here, Michael?
Well, it's hard to talk about this without, because a lot of the information is in the book, and a lot of what we've been taught is wrong. You know, we've been taught that we're separate, and we're taught that the universe is separate, and you know, we're taught that there's good and evil, and we're taught that there's this duality and all this other stuff. But you know, really, when you come right down to it, everything that you see is God. Like if you want to talk about the nature of God, then you have to look around you. Then you have to look at yourself, and you have to look at the way you think, and whatever you do, you know, whatever other people are doing, this is all an action of God, whether or not the individual is actually aware of it or not. So, you know, to talk about the nature of God means to look at the world around you and to look at the world inside and recognize that it's all part of this fabric of consciousness. And the core of reality, the core of everything, in the book I say, I think in the first page, you know, everything starts from consciousness, or everything comes from consciousness, or something like that. But, and that's the case, right? Consciousness is kind of the root reality, awareness, bliss, whatever you want to call it. And everything derives from that, including the physical universe. Again, this is outlined in the Book of Light. It seems complicated when I'm talking about it now, but you know, you've read the book, you know that when it's laid out in the book, it's not. It's really easy to follow and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you're very good at articulating this stuff in a very straight on manner, and that's what I enjoy so much. And I guess that how should I put this? This information is so important, I think, at this time. This is about, or this is my own opinion, of course, but this is about realizing what we are, what we are a part of, and where we are going. And I think that this information that you provide is essential in this process. What is your own take on this?
Yeah, well, I think it's critical. You know, I think everybody's going to read my books at some point. It is, you know, because there's a lot of clarity, and because it says, you know, the truth in the Book of Light is very simple, that you're God. And it shows you how that is and why it makes sense. And you just trace the logic of it, and you can, you know, everybody that's had some experience with organized religions will know how confusing some of that stuff can be, you know, and how illogical it is, and how senseless it is sometimes, you know, like God sending down 10 commandments and breathing fire and killing people just for the sake of it. In the Book of Light, all that nonsense is kind of swept away, and the fundamental truths are laid bare. And this is important because it's part of the process of taking our power back and saying, and looking at the world and saying, no, you know, this is not what I want. This is what I want. And recognizing that we've got the power to do that. So that's the whole point of all my books all kind of revolve around the process of, you know, getting people to take their power back and showing them how to do it. And providing them with tools and mechanisms where they can see for themselves, you know, that what I'm saying is true and that it makes sense and that it works.
Then I got to ask you also, how do you have any take on how did we get in this mess we're in right now?
What is the question? How did we get into this mess?
Yeah, I mean, just as you say, we obviously have a few things to clear up here, so to speak. We have issues that we got to go through, and we're, as I said, we're in a mess right now. But do you have any take on how did we end up in this mess if everything derives from this, you know,
Well, it's because we're here by plan, because we knew this was going to happen, right? There was nothing. We knew where we would be. I mean, we didn't know the details of it, but we knew that when we put on, in the tarot book, I have this new tarot book coming out pretty soon based on a bunch of cards, and that's, I'm putting up card descriptions in the bulletin boards on my site, so if people want to take a look at the cards and stuff, they can go there. But I explain this in a lot of detail in that, in the tarot. But it's, this is basically, we planned to be here, right? We knew at the start it was going to get ugly, and we knew it was going to be difficult, and so there were promises made and deals made and everything kind of put in place. And then, you know, part of the deal for getting, and it really is a privilege being here at this point in time. The privilege of getting to be here was that we would have to, you know, kind of forget who we were, so we could work, do the energy work that we needed to do, which we wouldn't be able to do if we remembered who we are. And this I talk about in the Book of Life, about the fact that, you know, we're here simply as energy workers, and it's our job to generate energy, and we do that by getting involved emotionally with people and by getting into scraps and doing all this other stuff. But none of the kind of nonsense that you see happening in this world that generates all that energy would happen if we were fully connected to spirit, because it just wouldn't happen. We would be, the level of intelligence and the level of understanding and the level of enlightenment is so much greater than you know, what's even average on this earth right now, that there's no comparison, right? So, and getting here, you know, given the fact that we're so powerful and so, our spiritual consciousness is so bright, you know, getting here cannot be seen as an accident or a mistake we made. You know, getting here was planned, and getting out of here is planned too. And, exactly. You know, people will see this as time passes in the next few years, how everything, it literally falls into place exactly what it's supposed to. And, you know, every little stage means a little bit more enlightenment and a little bit more awakening and a little bit more positive change, and pretty soon it'll be like a waterfall or a dam breaking. You know, the old world, the old forces who are kind of trying to prevent this won't be able to stop it anymore. And I don't think they can stop it now, but I think they've lost control already.
Yeah. So do you see it as if this change that is obviously occurring right now, but I also am not the I'm convinced that it will accelerate, so to speak, but do you see it as, how should I put this, is this something that will spark within every one of us, or is it something external that will happen, so to speak?
Well, it really depends on the individual. Some people will respond to a little inner push from their guides or their higher self, and others will wait for an external event, or will need to see something external. But there's lots of external events, and, you know, I'm not going to go on record predicting that there's going to be this big catastrophe, because, you know, if there is, if the United States drops a bomb on Iran or something, that has nothing to do with tension. That has everything to do with a bunch of powerful people trying to keep control for themselves. Yeah. So, really, if the process just is allowed to unfold naturally, it'll mostly be people, you know, people will manifest for themselves what they need to wake up when they feel it's their time. And a lot of it is simply getting the message to them in a way that they can hear it and saying, it's your time to wake up, right? Now, wake up. It's no more of this being asleep walking around Earth. Because really, people don't wake up because they don't think it's time, right? And that's the only reason. It has nothing to do with skill or ability or genetics or grace or any of the other crap that you've been told. It's just a decision you make, you know, when you feel it's ready, then you wake up, and after that, I mean, there's work to do, but it's not, you know, it's not this major spiritual process.
Yes, that is so true. I also am, I see it in that way also, because we have to decide on all this, but for those people maybe who are not so convinced on this kind of material and these concepts that we are talking about here, I see it as almost as the political and the power structure that is going insane, I think, almost at the moment, that it is all part of this awakening process, and even you know, on the surface, the bad guys, so to speak, are an intricate part of this plan. What is your take on that?
I would say yes, that's true. I would say that the bad guys aren't necessary at this point, that the preference would be for all the bad guys to wake up and, you know, come join the party. But they're also playing in the script and locked away, and they also kind of need to get the message that it's time. You know, the problem with that is, of course, that the really bad guys have a lot of littler bad guys around them, and there's these layers and layers of protection so that they don't get to hear that message, and that's part of, you know, that the system is set up that way. But it also kind of ensures that they're not going to wake up until close to the end, when everybody else is waking up. And but again, you know, that's part of the technique. It's not necessary, but it's what we're working with now, based on, you know, what's kind of happened in the past. But yeah, basically they remain part, an integral part of the process. And you're right, they are starting to go mad. It's starting to become increasingly obvious.
I mean, how we have to. I mean, it's difficult, but because I mean, this will just not disappear, so to speak. I mean, this will have to end in one way or another. And at the moment, things are really balancing on its scale, I guess. But how is it going to end?
Well, it's just gonna. I mean, that depends a lot on the people who are defending it. You know, I kind of like to see. I kind of like to visualize it or think of it like a sinking ship. There's the old world, which is the world of greed and power and all that other kind of ugly, disconnected stuff that we've been dealing with for so long. And then there's this new world where, you know, it's very much Shambhala, where we're open and where the money flows and where everybody's kind of living and building a paradise here. And the old world is sinking. It's irrevocably sinking. There's nothing that you can do to save it. And there's a bunch of people on the new ship, and there's a bunch of people on the old ship. And the people on the new ship are going, well, what are you doing standing over there? You know, get over here. And the people on the old ship are starting to panic because they can sense it now that it's going down.
Yes.
And so the question will be, you know, what do the people on the old ship do to try and save their ship and save their necks? You know, that's what we're watching right now. But, you know, if all of a sudden they all woke up and jumped over the new ship, then that would be it. You know, the end wouldn't be that. It would be a non-event, really. The new world would just emerge naturally. So,
yeah,
it's really. We're kind of at a. You're right. There's a balance point right here, and I think that probably the old world's gonna hang on kicking and screaming, mostly out of fear, because they're so scared right now. They don't see the new ship, and they don't see all the friendly faces, you know, trying to send them life preservers and stuff. So, it's probably gonna go on a little bit. But, you know, we've done a lot of work, and yeah, there's a lot of really good information out there, as you already know. So, it you know, once you get past a certain point, I think that a lot of people on the old ship are just going to jump, and that's when we all step in and say, hey, you know, over here, new world.
is this, I always enjoy to ask all my guests that I have on about 2012, because there's so much hinged on this number. And it has become a movement in itself at this point, and I don't know what to think about that. But in the beginning, I consider it to be, of course, something. There is something to it. And what's your take on this?
Well, I run an advertisement on the internet, actually, and the website is mayan2012.org, and it's, you know, it's an advertisement for my books. But in there, I talk about that date and say that, you know, there's two ways to look at this date. This date is at the point where the energy for the old world isn't available anymore, and it literally starts to crumble into dust, right? It's literally the end of the world. Now, how dramatic that is going to be will depend on how many people are off the old world ship by then, right? A lot, there's a lot still there. It's not going to be a conflagration, you know, everybody dies event, but it's going to be, and I don't think anybody's going to die in it, but it's going to be scary to watch, right? And then there's the other way to think of it, Mayan 2012, is as a birth. You know, the old world is dying, but in its place is being birthed, and the new world is already being birthed, like it's happening right now, but by 2012 it will be obvious, and people like you and me will be able to point to it and say, there it is. You know, right now it's kind of subtle, and you kind of got to be looking for it, but by 2012, you know, the birth pains are done, and it's delivered, and it's a shiny new baby. That's, you know, and I prefer to think of 2012 as the birth, and not to worry so much about the death, you know, because the more we worry about the birth and the more we send energy that way, the faster, the more it's going to become obvious, and the quicker, you know, the more it becomes obvious, the quicker we can say to people, hey, look, come on, you got to jump, you know, quick.
So. Exactly, and I think I can understand. I've been experiencing this myself sometimes because I think that it can be difficult to, you know, to see it or to even understand it or to grasp it or get a concrete idea of what it is and how we are to implement it in our lives. Do you have any ideas on this?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, you're already doing the work that you need. You know, you've got the website, and that's your contribution. It will depend a lot on you know, once you basically just make a choice, right? Okay, I want to work on the new world. I want to get that manifesting myself. I want to get it out. And then you kind of just pay attention to it and visualize it and make it into what you want. And that's the trick, right? Because nobody can tell you that this is the way it's going to be. It's going to be the way you want it to be. And it's going to be different depending on what country you're in, you know, and what ethnic group you're from. And you know, there's going to be a lot of individual differences and stuff. But, overall, it's going to be, you know, I mean, when I describe it, I'll say it's a world of prosperity where everybody's rich and there's no restrictions. And, you know, you don't really have to work much to survive and have a nice house and all that other stuff. And you don't have a lot of filthy rich people like Bill Gates anymore. But you've got general wealth and general satisfaction. So within that context, you know, you guys decide what you want. You know, I know what my world is like. In my world, I work a couple hours a day and spend the rest of the day with my kids and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Other people don't like that. Other people like to work more, and that's fine. You know, but it's a question of what you really want. And so part of the process of getting there, I guess, is examining what you really want. If there were no restrictions, if you had no obligations, if you didn't have to work, I mean, I'm not saying abandon your families, but, you know, if you could do what you wanted to, what would you do? And that's what you have to build up, that image in your mind, right? And by doing that, then the energy will flow to that, and the structures will start to be built. And we'll build it spiritually, and we'll build it with the sweat of our hands and our brows and everything, but it'll be built, right?
Yeah, I can almost feel it sometimes. It feels like it is so close to
being
able to do exactly what you want, but we aren't quite there yet, it feels, but we're so close now.
Well, we are. I just give you a kick in the butt there, and then we can.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. Listen, we're at the bottom of the hour, and I can say that if you're just tuning in or tuned in a while ago, we are speaking to Michael Sharp about many things, but we'll go more into his new book, The Book of Light, and his tarot deck. Going to be very interesting to hear a little bit about that. You can visit Michael's website by simply going to michaelsharp.org. That's Michael Sharp, one word, .org. Okay, Michael, where do you want to go? Is there something from the Book of Light that you would like to address here?
Oh. I don't know. read the book. It's a free book. You know, I made it totally available for free. And
yes.
I won't ever change that with this one. This is, and eventually I think I'll probably make all my books free, but I do have a family, so I got to think about them. If you're really interested in kind of waking up and getting to the truth of things and stepping back into your power and stuff, I really recommend, you know, check out my site. I spent a lot of effort and with a lot of clear intent to present really what amounts to a system of awakening and empowerment that's very quick, that you can do within the context of the daily grind of your work, where you don't have to spend, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine, a colleague of mine who's into this some kind of East West Coast mystery school, and he's been doing it for 20 years and stuff like that, and doesn't look like he's made much progress. You know, the idea behind this system, which is an open system, you know, it doesn't cost you a lot, really. I mean, you buy my books for $4, that's how much it costs you. It's really designed to you know, just to punch all your chakras open, get everything flowing, and you know, if you're willing to do that, and if that's the point you're at, then, you know, give this stuff a shot. And it's interesting that we're having this interview with Henrik now, because the Book of Tarot, which I'm doing, and it should be out within
a month or so, and I'm already starting to post card descriptions on the website and introductory material, is really, I'm really surprised by, you know, by the power by the power of the cards. They're the artist who did them, his name is Oxohalo, and Oxohalo, and they're just amazing, amazingly powerful. They're all based on fractal mathematics, but you know, when you're in the right frame of mind, you sit down in front of these cards, I mean, some of them literally blasted with energy. And the descriptions, which are part prose and part poetry, and just kind of, they kind of encapsulate, you know, all the lies that we've been told and all the truths that we have to know, and present that in a kind of punchy format. I'm really hoping that system is going to kind of be the sine qua non rapid awakening system. You have to read the first couple books, my books first, because it's kind of an advanced system, but where, you know, you sit down with these things and just push everything forward really fast and really quickly. That's my kind of personal belief. That doesn't really, it shouldn't really take you more than 6 months to go from zero to 90 or whatever the time it is in your area.
So this is, this is your new book. Is this coming out? Is it a deck and like
It'll be a deck and a book. Yeah,
and a book.
Yeah, and the deck. Oh. I mean, you'll be able to look at the images online for free. But if you want the deck in your hand, then you'll buy that. And the card descriptions will be online for free too. But I think most people would probably want the book because there's a lot. There's a lot of information in it.
Yeah, and this is it's the 22. Cards? Is it the regular cards?
22 major arcana without the the 22 minor arcana without the major arcana. So all the major arcana are dropped out of the deck, and the numbering is dropped. So there's no longer a 0 to 21 numbering. And in addition, there's some name changes to the cards, some image changes. So for example, we rename the Fool to Joyful. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of being called a fool every time I open my tarot card. I'd rather have an image of what I really am, really deep down inside. And death is changed to initiation. And like, I was kind of tired of, you know, every time I get to that card and wanted to be initiated there, it was scaring me away with death. So I just, you know, got rid of the word death there. The Empress and the Emperor, which are really, you know, symbols of hierarchy and power on this earth, are replaced with the underlying energies Gaia and Mars. So there's some planetary associations that become obvious in the deck. And then there's the real punch in the deck, or the power in the deck, comes from a series of activation cards, which aren't posted yet, but should be posted within the next couple of weeks, which include activation and the star, and there's a bunch of other cards which are really designed to lead you through a visualization and meditation process that is specifically designed to empower you and raise your consciousness rapidly. And, you know, you're going to use the system, your head's not going to explode, but you're going to notice obvious visible changes in your life as the days and weeks click on if you're using the system.
Interesting. And these, are the pictures available now at your site?
They are. The link's not up yet, but it will be up in the next day or two. I've been redoing the site and kind of getting everything ready.
Okay.
But the card descriptions are up and the explanatory material is there, and the link to the cards should be, if it's not there, it should be there within the next couple of days.
Interesting. And do you, the book that follows along this, will there be, is it like different, I'm not so into the tarot, I'm just beginning to look at it now, so I recognize that it was, you know, the 22 cards and a few of the names that you just gone through here, but is it like, are there different practices with the cards, or how does it work?
It's kind of hard to describe. The each card, if you take for example first, you have to kind of recognize that the tarot, the way most of us have experienced it, is a corrupted system. It's not a system of free energy flow. It's a system designed to block energy flow. So a lot of the meanings that are on the cards, a lot of the images that you see in the standard Rider-Waite deck. And did you know that Waite was a Freemason, the guy who did the original descriptions for the cards? I just found that out recently, but it doesn't surprise me. Anyway, there's this energetic system that lies over the cards. So getting to the transformative energies of the tarot means peeling that away. I mean, I say this in the introductory material, that this is what this is about. And then each card itself is kind of invokes there's an explanation of what the card is about and some commentary on how the corruptions have worked. And then there's like three sections that evoke the negative imagery. And I call the negative stuff the Book of Slavery or the Book of Power, because it was really designed to turn you into a slave or make you power hungry, when we, depending on where you were or you know, what your boss thought or whatever. But to take that, to evoke those energies and say, here they are, not to scare you away, but to say, this is what it looks like, and then to dispel those and say, let's get rid of these, you know, and let's get to the core here. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm knocked over sometimes when I'm working on it. It's been a real process for me, but some of the cards, I'm literally knocked over by them. They seem so powerful.
Interesting. Have you worked together with the artist to render these in 3D, or how did you?
Well, how it worked was, I did the original. I did about a year and a half ago. I did a draft of the book, which doesn't exist anymore. But it was, and I didn't. I thought it was the final version, but really, I realized now it was more notes to the artist. And so I passed that along to him, and he spent about a year going over the descriptions and kind of manifesting an image what I was trying to talk about. And I wasn't that clear at the time. So the artist has contributed in a major way. It's just not me, you know. Like I was going when I was doing some of the cards, I was actually going through the process, the energetic process, and learning from the cards and opening to the energies that he had presented and learning stuff new. So there was this, and then when the cards were done, I took them back, did a couple of minor changes, and then I started to rewrite the book in line with the cards. And so together we've done this iterative process, and I've got what I think is just, you know, a really powerful a system of awakening, which you're not going to have to pay for. You know, like it's the whole point of this is to get everybody there. So I'm not, like I said, I got a family to think about, but you know, if a million people buy my book, I'd be happy with that. And there's, you know, billions of people. So.
Yeah, you seem to go through a lot of different techniques and use different varieties of instruments. I know that you also, of course, went through the in the Book of Light. You touched a little bit on the Kabbalah, and that was pretty interesting. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, the only thing I really say about the Kabbalah is, what my thinking on that is, that the Tree of Life in the Kabbalah, and there's been a lot of words and commentaries written about that, and I think that what the Tree of Life in the Kabbalah is really kind of an attempt to visualize or to render symbolically what I call the unfolding in the Book of Light. Now, you know what I mean when I talk about the unfolding, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and readers who haven't read the book will not know what that means, but it's not that hard. It really is just talking about the expansion of consciousness from a single point to the, you know, the, I don't even know what the number is. It's bigger than a Google. The souls that are available now. And also, as that happens, the creation of physical reality, which starts at a certain point and then continues on until this point through several dimensions. So, you know, there's a lot I could say about that. And I will say that, but that'll come in the Book of Magic, I think, which will come after Volume 2 of the Book of Light, which will talk a lot more about the technical details of all this stuff for people who are into that kind of, who are looking at it, who are into looking at it into that kind of depth.
Interesting. There is a follow-up to the Book of Light, because it was a real cliffhanger, so to speak.
Yeah, there will be, and I haven't started writing that yet, but I think I already know what's going in there, so I don't think it'll take me more than 6 months, and certainly I'll be posting drafts by the end of the year in the forums. So
interesting.
I would think early next year, that one, and then after that I'm going to start on, the plan after that then is to write the Book of Magic, which is really going to be, that one's going to be an interesting book, because at that point that's the book where I'm going to become known to the people who are into all that esoteric stuff, and the stuff that I'm going to say in that book's not going to make them happy. So.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, there is a lot of material out there on the, both the Tarot and the Kabbalah and the different practices, and much of it, you know, gets slandered, I think, simply because people aren't interested in looking at it, and I yet don't know what to think of it ultimately. But I have an open mind, and I want to know more about it, because it's very interesting. And just as you said earlier, I think that the techniques and the methods that have been used sometimes have been passed down through generations. And
well, I think you got to be careful, though, because ancient methods or older methods are really designed to be more difficult and to turn people away, right? So it's been part of the system where we didn't really want everybody empowering, and we didn't want people, you know, starting to become master co-creators or master magicians, and, you know, we just weren't ready for that. So, though there's a lot of truth in some of those old systems, the problem will be that it will take you a lot of effort to dig out what's important and what's just been added on to make things difficult. So, and, you know, when you talk about that, and then I'm talking about my work, I really, you know, my work is really designed to get rid of all that stuff and to say, this is what you need. This is the core truth. Go from there. And then it's quicker. You don't have to. A lot of people who have read my work will go back to Kabbalah and all that other stuff and say, yeah, you know, now I understand that stuff. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I mean, I think you read my stuff first, because then when you go back to that stuff, you'll know, and you won't have to spend so much time scratching your head going, what the heck were they saying here?
Yeah, I agree. There is a lot of... it's a lot of strange stuff to wade through, and I think that, you know, we can pick up pieces here and there and paste it together somewhat, but, you know, it's we need refreshing ideas and new ways of looking at it. I think
the information needs to be updated is how I look at it, you know.
Yeah.
To update it.
Yeah, exactly.
take everything that's gone before and kind of say, well, this is what it's about, and, you know, take it or leave it. But
yeah, exactly. And of course you have a great a little slogan on your site, well known in another form, I guess, as above, so below. You have it as above in consciousness, so below in matter, right?
Yeah. And I think that's actually the correct form. As above, so below.
Uh-huh.
It's part of that, you know, hide the truth kind of thing, so that everybody doesn't realize it. Nobody's taking their power back. But the full truth of that is as above in consciousness, so below in matter. And, you know, it's really worthwhile thinking about that, because what it's really saying, and I say it several times in different ways, is that everything flows from consciousness, or energy follows intent, or whatever, you know. Your life, this world, everything around us follows from the way we think about things. And it's not surprising that, you know, we have good and evil and black and white and poverty and hunger and all this other stuff, because we justify it to ourselves and we say that's the way it is and that's the way it's always been. And, you know, God, I mean, even our religions teach us that God is all about good and evil and that there's this creature called Satan. And, you know, so we've got this entire conceptual structure that, what I would say, you know, in a sentence, that supports the duality and sanity of this world. And as above in consciousness, so below in matter points to that and says, you know, if you want to change that, then the point, what you have to do is change your consciousness. And that's really what people are doing. And that's, you know, that's the 2012 date, because at that point enough people will have done that. And, you know, that gets us back to all the other stuff. But
yeah. But is it a holographic construct that we are a part of?
Well, I mean, again, this is going to be explained more in Volume 2 of the Book of Light, but basically it is. You know, holograph is one way to talk about it. I think of it just as all a standing wave pattern, you know, made by... the grass that I'm walking on now is part of consciousness, and it's only hard because I'm existing inside of a hologram. You know, this hologram isn't hard to immortal spirit. It's just hard from within. So, but yeah, it's basically a hologram, and changing the programming of the hologram means changing the source of the hologram, which is consciousness, which means changing your ideas. And, you know, that's kind of another theme in my writing, is getting rid of the duality and getting rid of this nonsense that, you know, there's good and bad in all of us, and that there's good and evil, and that, you know, there's that faction and that faction and those people and that people, and some people are better than others, and some people are worse, and some people have talent and some are graced and some have genetics and some are born rulers and all this other stuff. And just say, no, you know, whatever you want goes. It all starts from consciousness. So, you know, and then start from, you know, start from who we are deep inside, which is God created, co-divinity, spark of light, love, all that other stuff, and start from that creating the world. Don't listen to what other people have been telling you.
Yeah, and do you think it's fair to say that we then collectively kind of manifest the current reality that we see
Well, yes, of course. And just look at the media and how frenzied the media is. The mainstream media is presenting duality and war and hatred and fear and all this other stuff. I mean, it's there's really a kind of a manic attempt to get people to buy into this good evil. You can see the way they've aligned it. You know, they're going after the Arab nations, and the Arab nations, they're purely scapegoats for this process. You know, the rulers there are involved, but the people aren't. And the rulers of the world are basically setting up another dichotomy like they've done every other time we've got to this point, you know, and saying, this is the way it is, and getting everybody to kind of reinforce that. It's black magic when you come right down to it. But it's not powerful magic. It's not really powerful magic because it's based on deception and lies. And it's only powerful because we allow it to be. You know, as soon as we say stop, then that whole structure starts to collapse because it's black magic is never any more powerful than white magic. No matter what they may have told you in the Brotherhoods.
Yeah, and this time we will make it, right?
Yeah, we will, you know. People always ask me, well, how do you know? I say, well, I'm here. Isn't that nice? we're already past the point, and I think we're already seeing, you know, things happening that haven't happened in the past. Like, we've got cheap solar energy coming out of South Africa now. We've got reading an article about windmills on houses, you know. The biggest problem that the world has right now is the cost of energy, right? And if you make that energy free, I wrote an article about this that's on your site, you know, that changes everything. You know, almost overnight, you know, as soon as you don't have to pay for it. Our utility bills are incredible here. They're, you know, a quarter of my paycheck. So as soon as I don't have to pay for that anymore, that frees up a lot of my energy and resources, right? So it'll make a big deal for us here in the developed world and for those struggling to get some of the prosperity that we've enjoyed here.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I've been following this also on my site, and your site, your article there was excellent on this, because I think, just as you say, we it is one of those things that we have to address it, and we have to come to a better form of how we attain our energy than the current one, and if we do, there's so much hinged on it, and so many. I don't know. I guess that so many problems, in a way, would be solved by this issue. So, I certainly understand the importance of it. So, I guess we have to just do what we do and hope that people out there, you know, continue with their inventions. And do you see that this also will increase, you know, the ingenuity of people?
Well, a lot of it's been going on for a decade now, but it's been suppressed, right? And so, you know, what's happening now is that technologies are starting to come out that you're not going to be able to suppress because of the internet and because other people, financiers and market capitalists or whatever, are waiting. You know, like, it's not like everybody with a lot of money is evil or wants to stop progress. There's a lot of people out there, light workers in positions of power now, who are just waiting for this stuff to happen. So, you know, there's a lot of, when you look at it from, as a sociologist, when I look at this stuff, I even get excited because it seems like everything's just kind of falling into place wow, but, you know, the power structures are collapsing more, and it's more obvious every single day.
Yes.
Just what's happening. But, you know, some people are going to doubt that, and, you know, to them I just say, well, just wait and see.
Just wait and see, of course. All right, let's see. We got just about 4 minutes left of the show here. So, is there anything you would like to finish off with? Anything particular?
No, I don't think so.
Buy my book. Read my books, of course.
Yeah, well, read my books. Buy them. the Book of Light, even though it's free. The paperback edition, I'm donating all the author royalties to charity, and my charity of choice is children with leprosy. In my opinion, it should not exist in the world anymore. It should not exist.
Exactly. It's a good place to. We've got to start with those kind of diseases who should be being.
But that's easy. You know, it literally costs $70 to cure somebody with leprosy. You know, we could make a big dent in that relatively easily. There's no excuse for it to be to be a problem on this earth anymore. And the fact that it is really kind of, it's kind of disturbing to me. But, you know, yeah. So that's my contribution. So even if you like the book, you know, buy that one, because then you'll be contributing to the end of that scourge. And then when that's ended, when we've ended that one, then we'll move on to something else.
Exactly. So you got a lot of things coming out there. When again did you say that the tarot book was available?
Well, my joke is that I've been telling people that it's about 2 months away for about 2 years now. So it's about 2 weeks away before all the card descriptions are up on the website, and it's about 2 months away before the cards are the book are ready. I'm going to take the cards to the printer next week. So
okay. Fascinating. And then you have the Book of Magic further down the road?
Yeah, further down, the Book of Light, which will kind of talk more about the physical reality that we're in now and how we got here and how it works. And then the Book of Magic, which will kind of be like a high-level treatise on how to get the most out of your creative powers.
Fascinating. Okay, Michael, we have just about 2 minutes left here, but I guess we'll finish off the show over the phone here, okay?
Okay.
And I'll conclude the last minute or two here.
All right.
So
well,
I would love to do another. Yeah, thank you very much. I would like to do would love to do another show with you sometime further.
Okay.
Further
so
down
let me
here,
know.
So.
Let me know. You know how to get hold of me, and I'll talk to you.
Of course.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Michael. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. There we have it, Michael Sharp, a very interesting interview, and I'm certainly looking forward to hearing Michael furthermore in the future here. So I would like also to say that we have upcoming next week an interesting person who has a site called soultravel.nu, that's soultravel.nu. His name is Torbjörn Sassarsson, and he is a Swedish, he has a web scene, I guess they call it, that is dedicated to remote viewing and out-of-body experience and a few other things. So be sure to check that out. That will be interesting. And I can also say that we will... probably we'll do like this instead. we'll leave it at that, okay? We have just about 10 seconds left here, so we'll leave it at that, and I hope you tune in next week to Red Ice Radio, and thank you today, everyone has tuned in, listened to Michael Sharp, very interesting, and we will talk next Thursday. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blog and